This morning is Frye against the EPA. Mr. Harrison.
Good morning, Your Honors. The District Court granted summary judgment for the EPA, notwithstanding having found the following undisputed facts. That EPA's remedy selected for the Superfund cleanup in Bloomington, Indiana, had been completed, that all steps in the record of decision for that remedy had been completed.
But wait a minute. I mean, I think we need to focus the question here because I think it actually emerges quite satisfactorily from the briefs that the issue is, in a sense, whether the action is limited to any particular ROD or whether one looks at the record as a whole to see if the EPA and, of course, the other relevant authorities will focus on EPA, has in mind a multi-stage process where there'll be, you know, the hotspot remediation and maybe water treatment, sedimentation control, and so on, because what the district court finds is that, indeed, they were in the middle of things, and nobody at EPA thought that the hotspot removal was going to be the end of the story here. They're just working on other things, too slowly, perhaps, from your point of view of your clients and perhaps from the point of view of citizens in general. But
yes,
Nonetheless, I mean, they're working on it, and I think the record does show that they were working on it. So I guess the real issue is, what does one look at? Does one look at record of decision by record of decision by record of decision and have citizen suits in between them that you can zip in before the next record of decision comes out, or do you look as a factual matter at the whole package?
That is the question, Your Honor. I think you framed it properly. And the answer is, the CERCLA statute provides in plain language that a citizen suit will only be limited in terms of the timing of review for a remedy selected under Section 104 or ordered under Section 106. And that is the answer, and I think that's what this appeal is all about.
But the consent decree here is still in place, right? The underlying consent decree has never actually been modified?
It has been modified.
Well,
it has been.
Not to say that the end of the day is the hotspot removal.
Well, I believe legally, Your Honor, that is where the case stands under the Superfund statute at the moment. The district court found that there had been some amendments. Obviously, the incineration plan had been abandoned. The hotspot cleanup had been adopted, which has now been implemented. But there is no additional work to be done under the consent decree, even as amended. And under the Superfund statute, if there is to be a settlement for a remedy, it has to be incorporated into a consent decree. Under the Superfund statute, if there is to be a remedy implemented by EPA, it has to be selected by the record of decision and public comment process. So the statute controls what is the remedy. And if EPA decides, well, we should have had something else in the remedy, and I think I would agree with Your Honor, EPA was thinking that at the time and has been thinking that for a very long time.
Well, it seems like it's pretty clear that when the incineration option wasn't going to work for the complete excavation, which is what you had hoped for, your clients had hoped for,
yes,
it understood that sort of a multi-pronged approach was going to be necessary in lieu of the complete down-to-the-bedrock excavation.
And is Your Honor saying that EPA understood that or that it was represented as a decision being made by EPA?
EPA seems to be talking about that for years in this record.
Yes, Your Honor, and it's the plaintiff's position that what EPA contemplates, wishes for, and talks about is legally irrelevant. That the statute says if EPA wants the protection of Section 113H, it has to abide by the procedures in the Superfund statute to select a remedy under that statute, which does include an opportunity for public comment, a record of decision process, which has not happened for what EPA is still contemplating, like the water treatment that has yet to be done to be...
So the only thing you think EPA could do would be to issue kind of an umbrella record of decision that says there are going to be three phases to this project, and then have little sub record of decisions in order to protect itself, you know. Because I guess under your view, a phased approach would allow citizen suits even if 15 minutes pass between the completion of one phase and the new record of decision for the next phase. And I guess what troubles me about that is the idea that indeed circumstances may change as phases are
yes.
completed, and something that might have seemed wise at the outset might not seem like the right approach as various steps are undertaken.
Well, understood, Your Honor. I think in this case something like that has happened. We call it a failure of the selected remedy. It is a now admitted fact that the remedy implemented, the hotspot cleanup, has failed to stop the ongoing releases of toxic PCBs into the Bloomington environment. Now, what EPA wants this court to decide is, that's a new fact. We now know that we need to do something more, and of course they do need to do something more to protect the public, and that's enough to give EPA the protection against a citizen suit for what they've already done and already selected. And
what relief would you want? Well, go ahead.
Now I'm puzzled, because since our earlier decision in this case, and still earlier decisions, tried to draw a line between the design of the remedy and later monitoring to see what happened.
Yes.
And it seems to be your position that we all know we're not in a monitoring phase. We all know something more is required. That once it is the plaintiff's position that we're not just monitoring, we all know something more is required, doesn't it follow that we are not in the monitoring phase? We're in the remedy design and application phase?
I understand Your Honor's point. I believe the prior...
In other words, haven't you pleaded yourself out of court?
No, sir. I haven't. And I'll tell you why. This court's decision, which I agree with, as it was stated, the prior decision, says that a remedy to be protected from a citizen suit has to be concrete and existing. And the law defines what that means. The statute defines what that means. And to be concrete and existing, EPA has to follow the law, select the remedy by a record of decision, allow for public comment, and if it doesn't do that, it doesn't deserve the protections which Congress intended to give it if it complied with those procedures. There is no concrete and existing remedy here that has yet to be completed. If we follow EPA's argument, any remedy that fails will have something additional that needs to be done, which they will discover at the completion of the remedy. At that point, no citizen suit will be available to challenge the failed remedy, even though Congress clearly intended for that to be the case.
But yeah. I guess the thing is, you're expressing this maybe in terms that are more black and white than I think the situation is. On this record, it seems from the very start, people have understood that one, particularly given the geological characteristics of this area, that there were going to have to be measures taken dealing with water treatment and sediment control in addition to whatever excavation was going on. And that certainly at least became clear when the complete excavation remedy was discarded for whatever reasons, it doesn't matter, it was discarded. And I guess when everyone knows we're in the middle of things, isn't the policy that Congress was after in the timing provision one of letting the authorities finish? Now, I don't disagree that there might be some point at which you would say, look, you guys have studied this long enough, and we understand that study can sometimes be a synonym for we've decided not to do anything.
Yes.
But I don't know. I mean, the district court has not found that on this record.
Your Honor, there is a critical fact that Your Honor is not including in your assessment of the state of affairs. The potentially responsible party here, Viacom, formerly Westinghouse, has not agreed with the scenario that you've described, and that's why we don't have in the current remedy a water treatment program that the PRP will be paying for. It's not as if everyone knew something else had to be done.
Well, I know, but as you well know, I mean, at the end of the day, whether Viacom agrees or not isn't going to drive this, because the EPA has the power to do it itself and sue them.
Yes, but the PRP has its day in court as well and can convince the court that maybe nothing else should be done. My point is, Your Honor, that we would have water treatment and other actions required to protect the public in this remedy if the PRP hadn't objected to it. The only reason EPA didn't select what they already thought was necessary is they couldn't get anyone to agree to pay for it. My position, the plaintiff's position, is that when that happens, if EPA chooses to exercise its options and not include in its remedy selection a certain component that it wishes it had done, it then has to defend the remedy it selected and implemented on its merits without that other component. It is entirely within the agency's control to solve the problem which Your Honor defines. The agency could include in its remedy, whether the PRP agrees to pay or not, I agree with you, to put in that water treatment. Why didn't they? They've been talking about it for years. They didn't do it because they couldn't get anyone to pay for it and they didn't want to do it themselves. And under those circumstances, Congress said they have to defend the remedy they chose and implemented. And that's our position. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Harrison. Ms. Katsalis.
Good morning, and may it please the Court. Anna Katsalis for the United States Environmental Protection Agency. I'll be splitting my time this morning with Mr. Hurd, who will be speaking on behalf of Viacom. We submit that this legal issue has already been presented to and rejected by this Court.
But this Court did not have before us last time the question, the more focused question of what one looks to figure out the action. Does one look to the agency's own statement, the record of decision? That would be one thing. Or does one take, you know, a more generic, record-based, factually-based approach to this question? So although we said you don't do these things in phases, it's very easy to imagine that even within the hotspot removal, there were phases. You know, trucks would have come in, excavation would have done, dump by dump, things would have happened. And so I think that, in fact, there's a focus this time that was not here in the case before.
Your Honor, the records of the unrebutted evidence in this case establishes that there are stages of this remediation for the three sites in this case.
What's your response to Mr. Harrison's argument that we need to look to the statute itself to see what this timing provision refers to, Section 106, Section 104?
Well, as this court recognized in Fry 1, the statute speaks of remedial action without qualification. It does not refer to a stage of remedial action. It refers to remedial action.
Right, but what's the remedial action? Is it something ordered by the EPA, or is it something the EPA is thinking about in Washington?
The remedial action for purposes of 113H is the entire cleanup of the site, the action.
So you guys could sit there for 35 years and think in Washington, and citizen suits are precluded?
Well, I think that this court established in their first, in Fry 1, a line that would be drawn. There is a distinction between active steps that are taken at a site to clean up the site and a time when there is mere monitoring of the assessment.
Yes, but now we have to figure out what that is.
Correct.
Suppose the EPA says, we're not monitoring, we're going to provide further remediation, and we will do it sometime within the memory of the last living descendant of Queen Victoria.
Well, first of all, that's plainly not this case, to draw the distinction.
I'm well aware that the EPA has not referred to Queen Victoria in its decisions in
right.
this case. Now, would you answer my question?
Well, I think that the answer to the question is that this is a very fact-specific type of question.
No,
for the court.
I'm asking a question about the law. We will figure out what the law is, and then we will apply the law to the facts. So,
yes. Will
you answer my question, please?
Could you repeat the question then?
Look. We need to figure out whether it is a principle of law that as long as the EPA says it will in the future do something, as long as the EPA does not admit that it is now just monitoring, any judicial role is precluded. Is that the rule of law? If so, then the EPA can say, well, we plan to wait for a very long time.
No, and that's not the rule
of
law.
So what do you think the rule of law is?
The rule of law was already established in Fry 1.
No, it doesn't. No, it wasn't. We said that if we are just in the monitoring mode, then judicial review is permitted.
Correct.
Now we're trying to figure out what it means to be just in the monitoring mode.
Correct.
If the EPA says we are definitely going to do something, but we don't know what and we don't know when, is that enough to preclude review? That's not just the monitoring mode. That's something else.
Correct. It is different. I think you need to look at what the remedy is for a site and see if the components are there.
I'm asking a question about the law. We cannot figure out the meaning of the law by asking what is the remedy for site X.
But that is the law. The law is there is no judicial review. Judicial review is delayed until the action is
completed. Well, let me put it, because I'm troubled by the same thing. Let me just try to put it even plainer. What if the investigations and studies are concrete but last forever? I mean, that go on forever, leaving the public exposed to harmful toxins in the meantime. I mean, our question is, shouldn't we read Section 113H to allow suits in such circumstances when it just goes on forever?
Well, certainly if it goes on forever, that's a different
So we want to know how long.
That's the rule of law.
Yeah, so you need to give us something.
Well, and you
so
also
that we can make a distinction between going on forever, because you agree that the whole reason the statute was written was to help protect the public, true, and to give EPA and companies an opportunity to get the cleanup and do monitoring and all that kind of thing.
Exactly.
So what kind of rules should we adopt, you know, to prevent or to stop the EPA from making these claims that, you know, they're working on things are going to happen, we're monitoring, that this is going to go on forever. So what kind of rule should, that's the rule we're looking to adopt. What suggestion do you have?
It's very hard for me to say something that is more specific than what has already been said, because
let me put it this way
then.
It's not fact specific. Usually in administrative law, what we review is an agency decision of some kind. There might be something published in the Federal Register. There might be something more informal. There might be a letter. We are going to do X. We're not going to do Y. And we measure all sorts of things like that. Mootness. We measure reviewability. There's a certain concreteness to the decision. Here, there is no specific thing. And I think the reason you're having trouble with this is because, in fact, you have an amorphous process going on, and unless the law is that amorphous processes count as, quote, action, you're also then we might want to figure out some rule that tells us, well, for how long do they count? 5 years, 10 years, 2 years, forever? Because forever is very troublesome in light of the policy of this statute, and there's nothing in the statute. Now, the great virtue of looking at an agency decision that's actually come out is that we know what we're supposed to be reviewing, the public knows, there's certainty to the system.
Well, this court has certainly dealt with the possible harsh effects of Section 113H before. First of all, this is an unusual situation, and there is a consent decree that isn't still in effect, as Your Honor recognized in speaking to Mr. Harrison. That consent decree faced hurdles. There was a statute that precluded EPA from implementing the remedy that was selected, and therefore the parties are working together and modifying that. To discuss the operable units that are being put into place here, EPA selected that in order to reduce risk. That is a site management and risk reduction tool.
But there's no specific plan in place right now for EPA to do anything else.
The consent decree remains in effect. If unless it is modified, that is still the guiding thing that is in effect. It is a plan that's in effect currently.
But you're not doing anything under it. You're not taking any steps under the consent decree.
Well, no, but the record is clear that EPA is taking numerous active steps to clean up these sites. That evidence is beyond dispute in this case.
What are the numerous active steps concretely?
Well, they're set forth in the court's opinion as well as in the transcript. There are sediment studies being done. There is water plants that have been built. There's groundwater work being done and sediment work being done. These are parts of
to a lawyer, something like water work being done doesn't have any content. What concretely is happening?
There are There is a basin delineation study being occurring for Neal's landfill.
Well, look,
there is risk assessment.
Council, wait. One of the reasons I'm asking this question is to distinguish between remedial work that is ongoing and more studies that are ongoing. I asked the question to get at the former, and your answer says, well, there's another study ongoing. What concretely is being done about remediation at the moment? I think the answer is nothing.
No, the answer is not nothing, because the risk analysis and studies are a required part of the action. The agency cannot...
This is double talk. To say that a study is the same thing as remediation is not what either our prior decision or this statute is argued is colorably about.
No, I'm not saying it's the same thing, but it must proceed. It must precede the actual construction activity.
Okay, let me try it another way. Suppose we were to adopt the rule that says, indeed, as long as the EPA says it plans to do something before the sun becomes a red giant and melts the earth, this statute precludes review. But anybody can file a lawsuit under the APA seeking to compel the EPA to reach a decision, because the APA has a provision allowing judges to compel agency action wrongfully withheld. Would that be satisfactory to the EPA?
No, because the APA withdraws review where a statute specifically precludes review, as 113H does in this case.
So you think that there is no possible way for the judiciary to compel agency action wrongfully withheld? That does mean that you're saying that as long as the EPA just raises its hand and says, before the world melts, we'll do something, but no one can tell us to do it now. If that really is the EPA's position,
no, Your Honor,
it does seem to have consequences.
No, Your Honor, and let me rephrase my answer. I think that is definitely a different situation, and that's simply
a
not.
Does the judiciary have the power to compel action wrongfully withheld under the APA or not,
yes,
in your view?
Yes.
So you now say yes.
The APA does allow a court to compel action that has been wrongfully withheld. That is correct.
It says that, but now you have to reconcile it with your earlier argument that CERCLA itself withdraws APA jurisdiction, since it has more specific rules about the way agency action is reviewed in this area.
Right. I think that the court is grappling with the harsh effects of 113H, and we realize that CERCLA cleanups, which are complex, present harsh circumstances, but the point...
But it's not complete. I mean, Mr. Harrison at least has offered a reading of 113H,
right,
that would leave you alone while you're in the middle of an operable unit, a great phrase, and that would allow citizens to step in if the completion of one or more operable units doesn't seem to solve the problem. So it's an intermediate solution, at least, and it also has the virtue of taking into account the language action taken under Section 9604 or secured under Section 9606.
Right. That is a completely unworkable reading of the statute. The point is Congress decided that it was more important for EPA to clean up a site than to allow citizens to delay litigation. Congress decided
argument is that Congress has decided that it is important to block any judicial review if the EPA decides to do nothing until the world melts. So long as the EPA says we will eventually do something, its judgment can never, ever be investigated. That's the argument you're advancing.
No, and if I said that, I mixed up.
You said that several times.
Every time
we say, tell us what you think the rule of law is, all you say is, well, on the facts of this case, we win, which is not a rule of law.
Well, the rule of law, and it's unfortunately when EPA is taking active steps, and that is a fact That is, you apply that to the facts and see if active steps are being taken to clean up. There is a clear distinction that can be seen between when EPA is implementing a cleanup remedy and when EPA is seeing if a remedy is working.
You seem to be defining thinking as active steps.
Thinking must precede.
And my impression is that the thinking circuits of federal bureaucrats seem to operate with molasses-like speed.
Well, that may be true in the general case. I do want to point out, because I understand the court is doing this trouble, that's not the facts here. The facts here, there are decisions anticipated for the two remaining operable units by 2005-2006, and that's in the record. This case does not present the hard facts that this court is grappling with, and I understand the concerns, but this case does not present them. And to be clear again, it's whether there are active steps and whether the units are, whether the remedies are related to each other. And here, these units are indisputably interconnected.
Yes, you're repeating yourself. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Hurd.
Your Honor, if I may just simply address Judge Easterbrook's last point. I think whether the hypothetical situation...
Viacom doubtless would wish that the remedy be delayed until the earth melts.
No, Viacom has not wished that it would delay. We have actually done a tremendous amount of work over 20 years, and I can list all the things we've done, and it is in the record. We did not agree in 1999 to a consent decree that said, thou shalt do whatever EPA decides in the future. That's what we didn't agree to. It wasn't selected remedies on groundwater. It was agreed to an open check. Since that time, we've been doing a tremendous amount of work and research. We have been running one of the two existing groundwater treatment plants, which is at Neal's landfill, since 1989. We have been the one who excavated the dirt. We have cleaned up Bennett's dump to bedrock, even though the consent, the remedy did not.
That's not one of the ones we have here.
Pardon?
We have Bennett's landfill here, but we don't have Bennett's dump.
We do have Bennett's dump. That's the appropriate name for it. Neal's landfill, Lemon Lane landfill, and Bennett's dump. There was a Neal's dump in the prior case that did not come.
Yeah, Neal's went
out. So it's Bennett's dump. So we have done all that. The point that I want to make is that there is a program leading to a selection of a groundwater remedy.
How does one know if there's a program? I mean, do you just look and count up the number of studies going on, or do you...
You look at the nature of the studies. The nature of the studies are hydrological studies to locate the correct point to put a sampling, a withdrawal and sampling machine. You have a system where there are multiple points that water comes to the surface with PCBs. You do not want to build a whole bunch of small treatment plants everywhere it comes to the surface. Where's the best place? What treatment level do you do? In order to do that, you have to study hydrological cycles. How long does it take? What happens with the water?
Okay,
if you do that? That's what this process is doing.
I understand what you're saying. Section 113H4, though, is worded in terms of challenges to removal or remedial action. And
well,
that's the word, you know, that we need to...
Removal is enough. With all due respect,
action is
removal
the word that I'm
is defined in the statute as investigation to select a remedy. If you read 104, that definition of removal is there. There's a number of cases, and we've cited them in our brief. The process of selecting a remedy. EPA ordinarily selects remedies.
But removal also is defined as such actions as may be necessary to monitor. So according to that, monitoring is the same as everything else, which we've already said it isn't.
Well, what I'm saying is that there is a process of taking that is considered a removal action that includes the process of gathering data to select a remedy. EPA's usual process in selecting the remedy, and this is what's done in initial remedies where there's no prior remedy, is to do an RIFS, remedial investigation, which is gather the data, feasibility study, design the treatment plant or the remedy. That's the process of coming to a remediation decision. Indeed, these same plaintiffs challenged EPA previously for not going through the process of investigating and selecting remedies. So you have to go through that process. That happens at every Superfund site. The difference here is the EPA selected one of the remedial measures first, the soil excavation measure. It selected it and did it first. And then it came back to do a second one. So the plaintiffs here are saying, aha, because you went ahead and selected that part first, we now have this window of time. That was done with the idea of let's get what we know this part is going to be done first, because it is more difficult to plan exactly where you're going to put the treatment plant, what level you're going to run it to, how much rate you're going to do, how much storage you're going to have. All of that requires collecting data, dealing through the cycles, looking at the effect on fish and wildlife. That is different. There's a whole separate set of activities my client is doing to monitor completed works. And by the way, there were three sites in this consent decree that have been completed and are done. And we're doing monitoring on those. They're not challenging.
Well, nobody's right. Suing you about that. Yeah.
And the point is that there is a process, there is a distinction between collecting data and the idea of monitoring for effectiveness. Okay. It's well known in the CERCLA planning section.
I think we have your position. Thank you very much, Mr. Hurd. Anything further, Mr. Harrison?
I wanted to clarify the rule of law that the plaintiff is proposing. Judge Wood, I believe, stated it, and I'd like to clarify our position. We are not offering the position that review can be obtained under a citizen suit after one operable unit has been completed, when another operable unit that has been selected remains to be done. What we are saying, based on this circuit's prior decisions, is that if EPA wishes a remedy to be done in stages or operable units, it has the option of selecting those and laying those out in a record of decision. There can be 1, 2, or 10, it doesn't matter. If all 10 are selected, then we are conceding, based on prior Seventh Circuit precedent, which wouldn't be what we would prefer, but it does exist, that we cannot challenge a operable unit 1 when operable units 2 and 3 already selected under CERCLA procedures and a record of decision have yet to be completed. The rule we're proposing is that when all steps selected have been completed, whether in a stage or an operable unit, at that point, review is available under the plain language of Section 113H itself. Now, there was some reference that 113H4, which is an exception to the main limitation in 113H, the exceptions can only be read in the context of the language of the primary paragraph. 113H4, which governs citizen suits, still has to be read in terms of the language in the primary paragraph of 113H, which says the paragraph, this section applies only to actions selected or ordered. And until you have an action selected or ordered, there is no application of that limitation by the plain language. Now, EPA's position does, in effect, seem to be that as long as EPA is contemplating some further action, even though it has not been selected, that citizen suits can be postponed. In the record in this case, EPA's project manager acknowledged when Judge Young asked him point blank, how long will this water treatment take that you're talking about, that you're contemplating? And the answer was maybe 30 years, a very long time. Now, Ms. Fry, who is in courtroom today, one of my clients, has been attempting to get her day in court already for a very long time. We've had PCB releases since 1958, EPA litigation since 1983. This is not so far off from Judge Easterbrook's scenario as EPA might have the court believe.
I suspect that in the lingo of government, 30 years and 4 billion years, which was my scenario, are actually very similar.
Perhaps, but the plaintiff takes a different view than the government. So, in this case, Your Honor, we believe that because there has been no action selected that has not been implemented, that review is now available. We are not challenging any of those future things EPA is contemplating. We haven't brought any suit about those. This case isn't about that. I would think the district court had some confusion about that, which led to the granting of summary judgment. I believe this case does pose the question that Judge Posner raised in North Shore and I believe this may be the time when it's necessary for this court to answer that question. And I believe the statute helps in answering it, and that is that even though it is harsh for citizens to wait while a selected remedy is being implemented when irreparable harm is occurring, and plaintiffs like my clients would wish it to be otherwise, nonetheless, the statute does provide eventually for a review. And that point of eventuality has come in this case, and that is when the selected remedy has been fully completed, even if EPA acknowledges now that remedy has failed and some future action needs to be contemplated. I thank Your Honors for your attention.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advice.